Please be seated. I had a conversation recently in which someone told me that the only time they actually feel the presence of God is when it's silent. And so oftentimes they don't feel the presence of God here at Holy Comforter because we're not particularly silent and we don't do silence well. And that's all right. And that when they feel the presence of God, oftentimes they assume that God is invisible. They can't see God anywhere. They don't see God in other things and other people. And my response was, well, okay, that's fine. At least you're looking. At least you're trying to feel the presence of God, because I think wherever you find God, however you find God works, because we're each different. Like, we all have different learning styles. We all come from different places. We all talk a little bit differently. And so our brains work a little bit differently. And so God comes to us how God comes to us. God finds us however God finds us, because I think God can manifest in a million different ways. God can manifest in ways that we don't expect, because God is so much bigger than we could imagine. God is all the things and is in all things and is everywhere. So as long as we're looking, as long as we're trying, as long as we're making an effort to be in relationship with God, I think that's how it works, and I think that's okay. And so today in Scripture, in one sentence, God is called three different names. And this happens when Jesus and Nathanael meet. And so Jesus says to Nathanael, "Hi, how are you doing?" And Nathanael says, "Wait, how did you get to know me? How did you figure out who I was?" And Jesus says, "Well, I saw you sitting underneath that fig tree over there before Philip called out to you." And Nathanael, shocked and awed, having an epiphany at that moment at who God is, says to Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And in one sentence, Jesus gets called three very different things by the same person. And I think what's interesting about that is that all three of those names for Jesus make sense to me. But they also make sense for each one of us who, at different times in our lives, relates to God in very different ways. So the first thing that Jesus is called Rabbi. And Rabbi literally translates from Hebrew as my teacher. It's not a teacher, it's not that person's teacher, it's not teachers, it's not teacher, it's my teacher. So someone who teaches me, someone who challenges me, who pushes me, someone who helps me learn new things. And one of the things I find interesting about Jesus as a teacher is that God, throughout Scripture, uses very different ways to teach us things. If you're someone who needs to do something to learn how to do something, Jesus does a lot of doing things, and God does a lot of doing things throughout Scripture. If you're someone who needs a good story to learn something, there's a lot of really good stories throughout Scripture. If you're the type of person who needs to have an intelligent conversation about the historical and theological basis for lots of things, Jesus and God do a lot of that throughout Scripture. Because we've all had a teacher, I think, I assume so, in our lives who's changed us in some way. We've all had a teacher who has pushed us to learn new things. I think about my junior year in college. I had a teacher whose name was Mrs. Ceresi. She was my English teacher. She went on to become the principal of my high school and then the superintendent of my school district. But one of the things I loved about her was that she encouraged people to argue with her. She encouraged you to challenge her every day in class. She was also the debate coach, so I think that's probably why she did it. But in my teeny tiny little town in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, it was not encouraged to argue with adults. So I did not get along with any adult in my high school very well, because I, as I am now, am not good at keeping my mouth shut. And so imagine me with no filter at 16, arguing with every adult who is within arm's reach. My parents enjoyed it because my house is filled with very tall, very big people who are very loud and very argumentative. Love for us is like an endless question and answer session where we push each other and we challenge each other. But in high school, it was not encouraged to do that. But if you went into Miss Racy's class and we were arguing about literature and we read books, we read a lot of books in that class. If you were arguing a point about a book, you had to come with an entire dissertation behind it of why you thought that point was true. You couldn't just say it and assume it was true. She would push you and she would yell at you and you could yell back, and I loved it. Most people hated her because they didn't like the challenging stuff, but I loved being yelled at. I loved being pushed to think more about stuff. And this is what Jesus wants from each of us. Jesus wants us to actually look at the scriptures, learn from the scriptures, and then actually apply them to our life. It's not like Jesus just wants us to hang out and think everything is great. Jesus wants us to change. Jesus wants us to learn new things from him. Jesus wants to be our teacher. And Jesus wants us to take what we learn from him and then actually use it in our lives. We're not supposed to separate the two things. I was arguing with my father-in-law, as I often do when we are in Oregon, about something. And he was saying something to me, condescending. And he goes, "How can you believe that?" And I said, "Well, that's what Jesus teaches me and how I'm supposed to live my life." And for him, he's like, "Well, that's an unfair argument." I'm like, "Well, it's just true. It's just how scripture works. This is what God calls me to love other people, and so this is how I'm supposed to live my life." And he's just like, "Well, that's not how this works." And I was like, "Well, argument over." But that's what Jesus wants us to learn, is that we're supposed to actually take the stuff that we learn from him and apply it into our real lives. So he's called teacher, but the second thing he's called is rabbi. You are the Son of God. And as the Son of God, Jesus bridges that gap between heaven and earth. Jesus comes as our healer and savior. There is no more need to be afraid. There's no more need to not want to take the next step, because Jesus has helped us and is with us to take that next step. My four-year-old loves ropes courses. I hate them because I hate heights. But as a four-year-old, you're required to have an adult with you. So it's often me who goes up 20 feet up in the air in these big dumb rope courses that I hate, and does these rope courses with my child. And always the first thing on a ropes course is one of those foot bridges where you have a piece of wood about this wide, and then there's a distance of about this much between you and the next piece of wood. Now, my four-year-old's legs are too short, so he can't just step across. So he's perfectly happy just to jump into the unknown. Hopefully, he lands on the next piece of wood. And if he falls, he's in a harness and he's got a helmet on. He knows he's not going to get hurt. He has zero fear about the whole thing. And he's tiny, and so he just jumps and then scurries through the whole thing. Me, on the other hand, so gigantic, me in my harness and my helmet is like, "Oh, I'm going to die. I'm definitely going to die. There's no way I'm going to step across this giant gap and make it, even though I'm 6'1", and I'm clearly going to make the gap. But what Jesus does in our lives is Jesus fills that gap. There's no need to fear those steps, not literally, metaphorically, I'm saying. There's no need to fear those next steps in our lives, those next things that we need to do as Son of God. God comes and fills those gaps in. God comes and heals us and takes care of us and is our Savior and wants us to push ourselves and know that we always have an advocate with us in Jesus. And so the last thing Jesus is called is he is called the King of Israel. And what this means in this context is that Jesus has come to rule over us, not as someone who has a list of laws and expectations that we are supposed to meet. We've been set free by what binds us. What Jesus is telling us is that we have one law that we're supposed to follow, which is to love God and to love each other. Otherwise, the rest of it is kind of just gravy. Our work is to love God and love each other. And the King of Israel at the time had a very strict set of rules that everyone was required to follow. And if you didn't, you weren't a religious person. You weren't actually following what was supposed to happen. You had to pay taxes. You had to show up to worship services on time. You had to do all of this stuff to be considered a good person. And for Jesus, he set us free from those things that have bound us. He has come and he says to us, all you got to do is love God and love each other. And so I think it's exciting that whatever it takes for you to see God, just in this one scripture, God is called three very different things that mean three very different things to each person. But whatever it takes for you to see God, to know God, it works. That's honestly how it works. And whatever it takes for you to be in relationships for God, that's how God shows up for you. And for me, it changes. Sometimes I need God to teach me some things. Sometimes I need God to push me to be a better person, to be a better Christian. And then sometimes there is a void where I don't feel God, and so I just hold on to the void until I can feel God's presence again, until God shows up in some other way that I need God to show up in. Because God can and does show up for us wherever we need God to show up. And God shows up from the least likely of places, from here, from far away, from wherever. It doesn't matter what the place looks like, God can come from there. Because as the psalm for today says, "Lord, you have searched me out and you know me. God knows us. And God knows that sometimes we're a little slow in the uptake. And God knows that sometimes we don't work as hard as we should at our relationship with God. So God comes to us in the ways that we need God to be there. And Nathanael had an epiphany that allowed him to see God in a new way. It allowed something to snap into focus for him. And when he did that, Nathanael completely changed his life. Nathanael had a job. Nathanael had a family. Nathanael had responsibilities. But when that epiphany happened for him and he saw God as a teacher, as a savior, and as his ruler of his life, he dropped everything he had and became a disciple. He left everything. He didn't pack a bag. He didn't say goodbye to his family. He just said, oh, this is the way I'm supposed to live my life. And he followed Jesus. And so whatever epiphany you need, whatever way you need to become a disciple, Jesus and God are there waiting for you. Whatever push you need, whatever spark you need, God is there. God will find you there. God will wait for you until you're ready for it. And it'll happen over and over and over again. Because as we've read in all of the scriptures, it's not like the disciples got it and then we're done. The disciples had to get it over and over and over again. Jesus showed up for them in ways they never understood and possibly never understood in their lifetime. But they kept asking questions and they kept showing up and they kept pushing themselves. So Jesus will show up for you where you need him to show up. God will show up and push you in ways that you never knew before. Our job is to look for them. Our job is to be patient and listen for that still small voice of God and sometimes the loud clanging gong of God. Because God will show up. We just have to be ready. Amen.